Dr. Glenn Denning, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, man. How is the Michael Labersi this week?
Fantastic. Can I tell you, if you've never been to the coast of South Carolina for 4th of July, you're missing out. Every, and I mean every human being on the planet, shooting off fireworks, no cops, no problems, no anything. It was unbelievable. It was like I was surrounded by 80 professional fireworks in one shot. It was insane. How was your 4th of July?
It was, well, I worked. It's pretty much the easiest way to do that. We watched the neighbors shoot off some fireworks. We did a little fire out here, burned some scrap lumber because we can. I know. But we're right on the edge of it. I would have loved to have been moved in this last week, but we lost a few days on the construction schedule. So I'm about a week out now. But I got a lot done. I sent Mike pictures of what all the things that I built this weekend, what I had to do. And it's a monumental task in what I'm doing. And I'm feeling it. I'm not going to lie. I'm fully feeling it here towards the tail end. And it's taking a lot of mindset work to get it done. It'd be super easy to just go, yeah, I'm checking out for the next month. Screw it. I'm tired. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to finish it. I'll get there when I get there. But I'm muscling through it. Is pretty much what I'm doing. And today's absolutely that, muscling through it. And, you know, meanwhile, we've got the show to run. And meanwhile, we've both got businesses to run. And meanwhile, we've got a family and we've got lives and we've got all the other things that are going on that we can't forget about. I didn't even realize it was the 4th of July, which is my daughter's birthday. More importantly, we know it's all about me. So, and I didn't realize it. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning before it dawned on me that I need to text my daughter and wish her a happy birthday. Like that's where I am distracted wise. I don't want to say I'm that focused on what I'm doing. I'm saying I'm that distracted by what I'm doing in the current space. So I'll own that one right now.
Distracted by the current space. Okay. Yeah. If you're not realizing it's 4th of July, you're definitely not living a balanced life for sure.
No. Yeah. And the irony of it, Mike, is this is all in an effort to live a more balanced life. The whole point of what we're doing is exactly that. And you make the solid point of, yeah, you're not living it right now. So no, I'm not living it right now. And I'm like a week out, man. I am literally a week out of suck it up, buttercup, and just, you know, nose to the grindstone for the next 5-6 days. And we will be at that point. I can spiral back and really, really scale back to be able to go, okay, I can see the forest for the trees now.
So how long do you think it'll take you to recover from all this?
You know, I was wondering about that. I was actually going to ask you about that from a recovery standpoint. Once upon a time, you know, when I used to do this, when I was much, much younger in a different space, it'd take me a week and I'd be in pretty good shape of just, you know, walking and eating and relaxing and just checking out a little bit. It was about a week. I'll bet you it's going to take me at least twice that. I would not be surprised at all if it takes me about 2 weeks before I'm just like, yeah, mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, fatigue wise, all the things to where I get up one day and I'm like, today I feel good. You know, that's the goal of how I want to wake up in the mornings. And man, that's not been the thing for the last, as you well know, 110 days now.
Yeah, well, you've been nose to the grindstone. And I think a lot of people realize these temporary deadlines, and a lot of people live like this, right? They go into these deep rabbit holes, they get these deadlines, they come out, they recover, then they go back in, you come out, recover, and they go back in. And there's a resilience that happens over time, but there's also a decrease in recovery that happens over time. You can only do it so much.
Yeah.
And I find that my people that do that professionally, like my clients, they'll basically instead of giving themselves 120 days, we'll give themselves 30 days. And we'll keep a lot of health care all through the way. So they'll tack on and they'll say, you know what? And then that mitigates their recovery. But it's kind of hard to do that when you're doing what you're doing because you're chasing elements. So each thing is custom and each thing is strategic. Nothing fits into a box. Because in your case, you were working through elements, working conditions, energy, optimal working time. You're working against next winter because you got to prepare for the winter. You got to prepare your domicile, then prepare your food sources. And all this is imposed. I mean, you could always go to the grocery store, but it's sort of, you've got these triple layers going on. And that's another valid point. At some point, when do you say, okay, I can afford to not do this at this way for this amount of time so that I can kind of not upset the apple cart too much? Because, you know, we've seen this and I've been a victim of this. I wanted to bring this up to you anyway. Like, I had my front door repainted, and I needed to take off some tape off this glass that's on the window. And the dude cut me a break, but I used electrical tape. And I was like, why would you do that? Electrical tape, hot weather, and paint don't mix. Electrical tape becomes an adhesive. So I had to wait like a week and a half before I had the 30 minutes it took to cut this tape off, peel it back, razor the glass, and do all this other crap. Like, at what point in my life did I realize that I have to wait a week to do something that takes 30 minutes? You know what I mean? Like, or why would the guy just use painter's tape? I don't know. Because painter's tape would have been off in 2 seconds. But, you know, because he still hit the glass with the paint anyway. So why use electrical tape? I have no idea. So my point is, when... I should say my question, you're going through this too. Like, when do you like say, okay, this winter I'm just going to buy food as opposed to prepare it for harvesting because I couldn't get my house ready in time, because I couldn't do this in time, because I could do that in time. My point is all right, when do I schedule this front door work? I mean, I scheduled it all in the same cluster because I thought I had the time, but life gets so busy, you don't even realize you don't have the time. And then by the time you realize you have the time, you're in this freaking cycle where you're like, wow, you know, it's kind of nuts, man. What do you say?
I do. And there's, you know, when we talk about this, and we've talked about this before, is done is better than perfect, is absolutely a thing. And I mean, there's a piece of that in there, but that's not exactly where we're headed with this. When we're talking about this, so there's some elements that I would have loved to have gotten done this summer that I am flat saying, no, I'm not doing them until next year. Like, I have already, I've already cashed a couple things and said, I can live without them. I don't need those. I don't need them through the winter. I don't need them right now. They're a want, not a need. And I've already done a little bit of triage on this project, and we do it in our business all the time, right? There's want versus need. And I think that's where this triage piece is. Comes into this of, you know, as far as scheduling the front door to be done, you know, could you paint it yourself? Sure, you can paint it yourself. Can you hire it out to be done? Sure, you can hire it out to be done. The irony of hiring it out to be done is you still ended up having at least a half hour worth of work invested in it, regardless, even after paying the individual. And I'm sure there's some painters. I'm sure there's some painters that are freaking out over electrical tape right now. And I know there's a lot of like, I know I've got some professional painters in my life that I know that do not use tape at all. They basically say, if you can't cut it in, you're not a painter. Like, they never use tape to mask things off. They just say, to truly be that good.
There's glass in the center. I'd rather have them just hit the glass because I had to razor the glass anyway. Just hit the glass.
Yeah.
I'll take care of the rest. Like, I don't know why you're using tape.
Yeah, and it's a want versus a need, you know, and that's one of those. Did the front door need to be repainted at the time? That's questionable.
Because it's a replacement door that was white. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's still a want though, just because it's, and I've got one of those too. I've got two doors. It is highly likely I will not be painting till probably next year. Maybe we happen to get to it, but I've triaged it and I've said, nah, we're not doing that. You know, we're not focused on that right now. That's not the key priority to get to the goal, right? And this is where we start talking about this business. We talk about this mindset piece. We talk about all these things. Is you've got to be, what are the things that get me to the goal, and what can be triaged? And there's everything that I could do, right? I could finish it all and I could say, well, I'm not going to move in until August and everything will be pristine. It'll be like a brand new house. I'm not interested in that right now. I'm not going to do that. I'm going, all right, it's triage. And the reality is, anybody that's ever built a house or moved into new construction, like, you're not done working on that house for years. You got landscaping work to do. You've got different painting to do. You might change the flooring once you get in there. There's a million things that are going to happen because we can't plan perfect. We cannot plan perfect. I mean, it just does not work that way. So, I mean, you've got to decide, all right, what degree of done am I willing to accept right now? And you've heard me talk about this guy before. His name's Richard Prenicke. And Dick Prenicke is what he was called. And he did, back before reality TV was even a thing, this was in the 60s, this guy went out with one of the old school wind 'em up film cameras into Alaska and proceeded to build himself a log cabin, filmed the whole thing, and cataloged it all, his first full year on Twin Lakes. The dude's wildly inspiring. Check it out. It's called Alone in the Wilderness.
All right.
I've been thinking a lot about him lately during this build. And a couple of things that I've triaged. And I get to thinking a lot about it. Of, you know what? He lived 35 years in the Alaska bush with some hand tools. And I mean hand tools. He actually created the handles out of, you know, branches that he made the handles for these tools. But some hand tools. He had some food flown in. He grew a garden. He hunted for his meat. But he lived on a gravel floor. He actually hauled gravel in a fuel can that he made into a bucket and hauled the gravel up there. And he lived on a gravel floor for 35 years. Now, I think about that and I'm like, well, I got to get this done and then I got to get this done and all these things that seem important at the time. And I got to think about this from a being present and a simplistic standpoint. Richard Prenicke lived on a gravel floor in an 11 by 16 cabin for 35 years. Just documenting what he did in his daily life. Dude was happy. He was healthy. Everything was good. He didn't alter there's one segment that he talks about not altering his meals. Like, he ate the same thing every day. Same thing every day. And he was perfectly good, perfectly healthy. So, I mean, I've been using that as some inspiration lately of this have to do it to this societal standard almost kind of thing. It's got to be done to this degree in order for me to get it done. It's not true, right? That's kind of a bullshit constraint. I wanted to throw that out there from the, we talk about want versus need. We're talking about the white door. You know, did the door, you know, here's a series of questions for you. Did the door keep the weather out? The new white door. Let's go with the new white door. Is the new white door, does it open and close? It functions as a door, right?
Yeah, I had to rehang it, but yes.
We got to talk about the carpenters you're hiring, man.
I had to hang it. It was a new door that I had to hang.
You put the new door in, but it functioned, right? It opened and closed. Yeah. It kept the weather out. It was a want. You could have probably lived 35 years with the white door. He just didn't want to.
You know what though, man? There's standards, right?
There you go.
My standards are higher than that. So I could have, but that's not good enough for me. So for me, my need want conversation, that I raised, you know, when you raise your bar, right? Like I do right now, like I raised my bar from the need want conversation. I could ride around with a rattle can paint job on my car, pull up to my kid's school, and have a black dot over primer red. And then I could, you know, have my yard uneven, and I could, you know, settle for this or something. Like, at what point is done is better than perfect? At what point are you then just giving it a half measure? You know,
see,
like
that's a that's a brilliant conversation.
In your case, it's a little bit different with not painting doors versus painting doors, because you're doing a massive project and you're trying to get sealed and contained and then get back to life. So that's different. You know, with this one-off piece, especially if I'm using contractors, I mean, I helped hang the door and I helped paint the door. Well, I didn't help paint the door. I had the door painted. I helped unpaint the door in terms of tape. My standards were higher. I wanted that thing on, done, as if it was uninterrupted, because the door I took off was black. The door I put back on was white, and it would just look ridiculously insane to have a white door. But it's such an easy paint job, because half of it's glass, that I used a professional painter to minimize, because I frankly did not have the time. Yep. So I used a professional painter who cut me a good deal.
So I love the fact that you bring up standards, because that's absolutely where this is going. Now, I'm not saying that in this project I'm not going to paint the doors, right? Those exterior doors. It's going to happen. I am not going to live with the white door. I've got the same white door Mike's got. When it comes right down to it, I'm not going to live with that door, but I don't have to paint it this week is a little bit of that is where I want to go with that. You know, I have a paint chip. I've got a paint color. I know exactly what I want that door to be when it's going to be done. But I don't have to do it this week. I've got to decide, you know, when is appropriate for that one. Now, standards is a great way to do that. And I've got meanwhile, Mike talks about that. You know, I could leave my lawn unkept. I could be doing that now, but I'm not. Like, we're out there with the mower mowing 2 acres to make sure everything's nice and clean and looks well kept in this new construction project. Where, you know, everything's picked up, everything's put away, everything is clean because we have standards. And the same is true. And we talked about this. My daughter listens to this sometimes, so I'm going to pick on her a little bit now. We talked about how your standards make you feel. Overall, right? You kind of become your environment overall. And there's a great book. I can't remember the author. Somebody text me, somebody message me, let me know who the author is. It's called Make Your Bed. Really, really great book. It's right up there with, you know, Mel Robbins' 5-second rule. For me, it's right up there. It's Make Your Bed. And it's a very simple step, very simple thing about keeping your space clean. Right. And how you feel about yourself. If you get out of bed and you leave your bed just a shamble because you slept in there and the sheets are all over and there's a pillow on the floor and whatever's going on, that you're setting yourself up to kind of exist in that space. So a very simple step is, and a lot of people it's really hard to do, is you get out of bed, you make your bed, and you start with this organized, clean, crisp way to start your day, and it sets the tone for moving forward. The same is true with everything. Like if I just was piling construction material outside right now, instead of, you know, my wife went to the dump earlier, had to haul construction material out of there. It wasn't a bed full of just disaster. It was actually very clean and well kept. I mean, it was all in bag and it was rolled up, so it was easy to take out. Because we have a standard about how people see us, you know, no different. My truck is pretty clean. My truck is pretty, you know, Mike's in it, Mike's seen it, Mike's ridden in it. And it could be a tragedy, but I don't do it that way on purpose because we have standards and it's just how we see ourselves. Sure. Is it, we want the rest of the world to see us that way. Okay, fine. If that's what it is. However, it's how we see it. It's how we view ourselves. You know, if you're showing up as a professional, if you are clean, if you're, you know, I use clean a lot here, right? Apparently I need a shower. But if you're like, you know, if you shaved, if you got a good haircut, you know, that shows up on how you feel about yourself and how you're going to show up and interact with other people.
Yeah, and there's certain things that, hey, he's a genius or she's a genius in this part of their life, total slob in another. I don't know that you got to roll around being a meticulous in every part of your life, but I will tell you, from a guy that works in a lot of environments, if the environment you're not working in is somewhat streamlined, it's going to show up in your work. If it's super chaotic, now maybe that charges up some artists and stuff like that. That's fine. I'm not talking about everybody. And streamline has its own customized meaning. But I know from my fact, if you know, the area, if I'm training clients, if I'm coaching, you know, I've got to be in somewhat of, I can be anywhere doing anything, don't get me wrong, but I've got to be in somewhat of a symbolized area that I create, whether it's a mental framework or a physical framework that allows me to lock in. And sometimes it's just me with my phone open and I'm looking at it, but I'm in a certain body position where I'm locked in. If I'm in a fitness room or if I'm using tools, well, then those things need to be easily accessible, like you would find in a nice, clean mechanics tool shop, where they slide a drawer open or pick something off a wall, use it and put it back, not lay it on the ground and sift through so that they got to find the Allen wrench or the torque wrench or the drill bit or the this or the that. There's a mechanics and an efficiency there. You know, even when you work, even when you're working on your home, right? Like, you seem like the kind of guy that probably cleans up your work area at the end of the day.
Like, yep, pretty much.
You know, when I used to work a lot of construction, it was a big deal to sweep up the sawdust, sweep up your area, come back into a fresh slate, not have that crap laying around, you know, not have beer cans and cigarette butts and whatever laying around. And don't dump it down the backside of the drywall so that the homeowner
finds it. Sweep it into a heat register, because I've seen that, to where guys will, I've totally seen him sweep it into the nearest hole in the floor, which is typically a heat register, figuring the poor HVAC guys are just going to, you know, vacuum that out, or the cleaning people or whoever it's going to be. Like, it's taking some respect in what you do overall. And I mean, we, Mike and I both do, we have our own businesses. We have a profound set of standards and respect for what we do. I have it in the build that I'm doing and the stuff that I'm, and I was chastised last week that I have not filmed this project. And I fully should have filmed this project. I really should have, because it's been a very, you know, call it solo, but yes, my wife has been around when she can help. She is basically pushing a broom, or she is, you know, she's doing some of the things, and she always says, oh, I don't feel like I'm a lot of help. She's a ton of help. So I'm kissing a little butt on this one too, because that means I don't have to do it. And if I don't have to do that work, that means, you know, I'm able to focus on what I need to focus on. So think about that from a leverage standpoint in your life and in your business, right? If there's things that, you know, I know there's lots of people that have cleaners that come to their house, you know, once or twice a week, that just have cleaners come in, clean the house. And I have always said, much to my wife's chagrin in this, if I had the money to do it and I was going to hire out one thing in my world to have somebody come do, it'd be come cook for me. I would totally have a chef come and cook and just have meals prepared. I would love that. It would be awesome to have that done. It would be great. I would totally do that. My wife would not do that. She was very irritated actually when I told her that I wanted to do that. But just think about what the leverage things are that you can do. You know, yes, I absolutely in this project could have leveraged out the whole thing, right? I didn't have to even be here. Like, I could have just shown up, somebody could have handed me the keys and I'd have walked in and gone, boom, there's my new house. I live in it. But it wouldn't have been to my standards of what I wanted at the end. We've got some very trick stuff in there that we're doing that it's a one-off. Stacy and I talked about it this morning. There is not another house on the planet that is even remotely like ours, like in this particular build. It is such a one-off. So I could have designed it. I could have had somebody do it, but I'd rather do it myself. This is a decision. So when I'm whining about the exhaustion, and I'm whining, no doubt, it's a choice, right? Yeah. It is a decision that I took on and I knew it was going to be, and that's what it is.
And that's just what happens, man. I mean, sometimes, you know, you make these decisions and you bite off as much or more than you can chew, and then you start having to chew more and more and more and more, and that's where you are right now. You know, it's, you don't know what you don't know. I mean, and you know, but you haven't done this in a while. So do you see yourself doing this again in 5 years?
At the moment, I would say, God, no. But I've also said that many times before. This is not the first time I've done it. I'd love to say this is the last one. And, you know, life is going to do what life is going to do in the next 5 years. We'll see what it is. Am I going to do it the same way? No. Because there's, just from a physical standpoint, I am going to have to do it differently. If it's 5 years from now, I have to do it differently. It's not going to be a negotiation.
Right. Okay. Well, never say never, right? All right, man. We're running out of time, dude. We talked the whole episode about you and your house. That's great. I love it.
We kind of did, yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, we're Dr. Glenn Denning. I'm Mike Liberce. You were just live on Total Disruption. See you next time.